in my bone. I just pulled my groin as I sat down here in the studio. That is truly embarrassing. You know, I am so old and like legitimate injury right there. Legitimate
20
injury.
Fingers. 20 fingers just pulled the ultimate Connor McDavid, who's been an assist machine so far this season, because the setup that he just gave us with a little M&M till I collapse to start the final hour of show leading into game three of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
He got me so excited that I sat down too quickly so I could speak into the microphone, and now I need to go visit Dr. Noah Foreman, hopefully get some rehabilitation. This is no good. This hour, first up, is brought to you by Subaru, Korolnik and Koliakovo, Joe Bowen in about 15 minutes, and I don't think the Maple Leafs need any type of M&M or any type of musical inspiration. Tonight's a huge one. They're back at Scotiabank Arena. It's on TSN 1050. Taddy and Corrado with the pregame, the intermissions, the postgame. Some added inspiration. Both you and I will be in the building tonight. And it's going to be just an electric atmosphere. I wish it was a little bit warmer outside. Maple Leaf Square, I'm sure it'll be jam-packed, as it always is. But like those crisp late spring evenings when it's like 16 degrees, you get your vest out, maybe a spring jacket, you head down to Scotiabank Arena where the atmosphere will be unbelievable tonight. Man, I can't wait for that experience. It's going to be
it's gonna be
a special one. I'm so fired up.
Yeah, and we encourage every fan that's going down there to bring your fandom out. You know, if you've enjoyed watching the first part of the playoffs here, where you know almost every series has played two games, and you've watched some of the incredible atmospheres in some of these playoff rinks. Well, if you get a chance to go to the game tonight, it's time for you to replicate some of that, you know, electricity that we've been seeing in some of these home barns. Where bring that to the Scotiabank Arena, like. That's what players would love to play in front of. That's what fans would love to be a part of. And make it happen. Make it a home ice advantage, because clearly the Scotiabank Arena was not a home ice advantage for the Maple Leafs last year. You don't want to be replicating those type of same results.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to bring up that
Just
number.
Don't do it.
The 1-5 record at home in last year's playoffs, no good. No bueno.
No good.
That's not going to work. Plain and simple. It is not going to work. The split against the Bruins in Boston's great, but you got to take care of business on home ice. And that's something the Leafs did not do last year. We'll see if they're able to do it tonight. But it's just a beautiful thing, man. Playoff hockey in Toronto this time of year, you don't know how long it's going to last. So enjoy it while it does. And we're hopeful that it's a long and prosperous playoff adventure for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but that remains to be seen. And I think if that is the case, you're going to need a really strong performance from someone like Mitch Marner tonight. And I guess with regards to who the Leafs are going up against, and Jeremy Swayman will start in goal for Boston, 962 save percentage, 132 GAA, 4-0 against the Leafs this year. And again, he should have started game number two. Allmark wasn't the reason Boston lost, but obviously, Swayman's just been much better against Toronto. I don't see why you deviate from that. It's one of the many questionable coaching
Could
decisions
from Jim
Montgomery.
Could you imagine if they start Allmark tonight?
Dude, like the Montgomery thing, I was thinking during the break that like if first up was in Boston and we were talking about this series so far, I would be screaming at the top of my lungs about Jim Montgomery all morning long. Decisions with the power play, the goaltending, both of which very questionable. I would just be going off. And again, Maroon and Shattenkirk on PP1. I'm sure Keith's sitting there like, are these guys pranking us here? Is this actually happening? All right, sweet. Thank you so much, Montgomery. So we'll see what it looks like tonight. My guess is Boston loads it up on the power play. Like, I would be stunned if Marchand wasn't on PP1. Charlie McAvoy has to be on PP1, but for whatever reason, they've continued to split those guys up and do the two-unit thing, which I guess at times Toronto's done, but for the most part, it's been Matthews and Marner and Nylander and Tavares and Morgan Rielly over the years, and that's been one of the most effective power plays in the NHL. Now, the playoffs, notwithstanding, maybe not as much,
But Tavares did get a goal on the PP in game number two, and perhaps the boost that everyone's been waiting for could come in the form of William Nylander tonight. Now, Chris Johnson, our hockey insider, joined us earlier in the show, and we'll get that clip for you ready in just a moment. But he seemed to be quite optimistic. I think everyone's optimistic about Nylander's availability tonight. Here is CJ in hour number two of First Up.
You know, just given the fact that we saw him skate a couple times in Boston and, you know, just how hard it is to miss games at this time of the year. I mean, I would think that it didn't seem to be too grave a concern around him, I would say, internally anyway. And so, you know, I do think there's a high probability you'll see him on the ice here today.
And if that is indeed the case, I would hope and I would expect Sheldon Keefe to be very aggressive in the deployment of William Nylander. When I say aggressive, I mean up there with Tavares and Marner, who have struggled through two games. And I'm not saying every single shift, but maybe some ozone looks, maybe up there with Austin Matthews at times as well. I think you need to utilize Nylander as this wild card, someone who can slide up and down your lineup and cause matchup hell.
Or
for
Swiss
Jim
Army knife, right?
Exactly. Well, whatever, however you want to term it, Nylander is a guy who can make a massive impact in this series. You bring him in, it's something that can be very, very impactful. We know how good this guy's been all year. And I know down the stretch he wasn't at his best. He was bad down the stretch. He wasn't producing any goals. I think goalless in his last 11 games, 3 points in the last 13 games. That's not like William Nylander. And now he's playing with an injury. I don't think you can expect him to be at 100% tonight, Nylander. But if he's on a line, and I keep going back to this, with John Tavares and Mitch Marner, and then you have Matthews, Bertuzzi, and Domi. Like, those two lines together, I mean, just match up. To the idea of matching up against those guys, if you're Grizzlick and Carlo and McAvoy and Lindholm, good luck. Good luck trying to figure out what to do, especially with last change. So yeah, there's a big advantage for the Leafs tonight if they can get Nylander back in there. And I would hope and expect them to utilize it as much as possible.
So, AK, I think it's safe to say, like, is it appropriate to sort of look at this matchup against the Boston Bruins, especially with home ice and having last change? Should the Maple Leafs even be worried about matchups against the Boston Bruins? Like, what matchup against the Boston Bruins scares you if you're the Maple Leafs?
Well, Pasternak scares me. Pasternak scares me.
Okay, but again, he's one guy out of three on that line that scares you. Again, you have NHL players on your roster. You should be able to feel good about yourself that you could, you know, find a way to at least isolate his position on the ice and, you know, take away some of his time and space. But I'm talking about, like, if you're the Maple Leafs, is there a matchup you're staying away from?
Not at 5-on-5.
No.
At 5-on-5, the Leafs are better than Boston. I think,
and they have been through two games.
That's a fact. But where the Leafs could screw themselves over is by taking stupid penalties like they have, and inability.
Yeah,
they really got to play with
controlled emotions.
You can't do it. You cannot be taking penalties like McCabe and Labushkin and Bertuzzi at the end of that game. We know what happened in game one as well. I mean, with the Max Domi slash on Marchand, you got to stay out of the box. And there's going to be a couple power plays either way. That's just how a 60-minute game works in the playoffs. But to just hand one over to Boston, whose power play is good, it's really good, and the Leafs penalty kill is really bad over the course of the season. That's just how it's worked, and I'm skeptical that it's going to change anytime soon. But handing power plays to Boston is something you just cannot do if you're the Leafs.
Yeah.
I think that's the key for success.
Look, we talked about it with Craig Button. We talked about it yesterday. I think the simple recipe that the Maple Leafs have to understand is that you can't make too many mistakes against the Boston Bruins. Because if you do, they're going to make you pay. And when I say mistakes, you know, we go back to the penalty kill with Kampf and Liljegren in the first goal last game. Someone's got to get that puck out. On the penalty kill, you got a chance to clear the puck. It's got to get out of the zone. Because if you don't, you're giving the Boston Bruins extra life. It's almost like what the Blue Jays did yesterday, where they gave the Kansas City Royals an extra out, and they made them pay for it. You give the Boston Bruins extra chances, they're going to make you pay. You can't take stupid penalties. the stupid penalties that the Maple Leafs have taken so far have cost them, minus the one that Bertuzzi took. Credit to them for finding a way to get a big kill in that play. But also, puck management. Like, when you need to make a play, just make it hard. Don't make these soft plays and allow Boston to turn the puck over and allow them to create offensive momentum. As we've seen so far in the series, when the Maple Leafs play a clean game and they're focused on the details and they play smart, I don't think the Boston Bruins can play with the Maple Leafs if they do that. Because they, the Boston Bruins, and Andrew Raycroft actually surprised me by saying down the stretch, the Boston Bruins' power play was struggling coming into this series. Well, they didn't look like that the first two games. So don't feed into the other team's strengths. Play smart, play simple, and most importantly, make a freaking hard play when you have to make it.
Well said. Very well said. We'll be down there tonight. Leafs Bruins, it's on TSN 1050. Cannot wait to see the voice of the Leafs, Joe Bowen, this evening, and can't wait to speak to him on the other side. Tonight, on TSN Radio, you can hear the Leafs and the Bruins, and you can hear Joe Bowen, the voice of the Leafs, on the other side as Hour 4 continues. You're listening to First Up.
A long lead pass for Matthews. Matthews is in alone. Scores! Holy mackerel! Big Pappy has given the Leafs the lead! 7:54 to go. What a play! And Matthews has goal number 70.
Oh, what a call it was. Leafs and Bruins. Auston Matthews on the breakaway. An amazing pass from Max Domi. And as good as the goal was, Carlo, I think the call was just as good.
Just as prolific.
Yeah, better. It was better. It was better. You're right. It was better. And you could hear more calls like that, hopefully, tonight on TSN 1050 from the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. His name is Joe Bowen, and he joins us now on First Stop. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you guys today?
Excellent. Thank you. We're fired up for tonight, as I'm sure you are.
Joe
as well.
Sounds like he's got a little extra bounce in his step this morning.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not on anything that's illegal.
Save that for after the game, Joe. Save that for after the game.
You know what? Carlo, Crown Royal has a wonderful effect. I don't care.
Nice. This early in the morning is even better.
Yeah. Well, you know, a little in the bottom of your coffee cup just to get you kind of moving.
So, Joe, we heard the call of Matthews' goal, and what a moment it was. What a call it was. His performance in game number two, I mean, just top to bottom, was incredible. What was it like from your vantage point calling the game?
Well, you know what? He's a generational player. And he has the ability to literally put everyone on his shoulders and drag them. And I think he just thought that it was time that he did that, and there was no stopping him. And the thing that makes him so good is that he's better in the defensive zone and the neutral zone than he is in the offensive zone. And that's saying a great deal when you consider that he's a 70 goal scorer. But he really is a 200 foot player that is dominant in all three zones of the ice. And that, I think, is what makes him so special. And he was that, for, you know, every shift that he was on the ice for 60 minutes against the Bruins in game two.
Bonesy, did you have a feeling last game that we were going to see a moment like that, considering the way the game went? And obviously, to no one's surprise, you had an incredible call, but were you expecting something like that to happen?
Yeah, I don't know if you can ever anticipate that, you know? I mean, you're hoping for it, but I don't know if you can anticipate it. But the way, you know, the whole team played so much better in game two, so much more responsible, so much more aggressive and physical in their own zone. They limited the Bruins to chances. And yet, you know what? When you watched the first period and you saw the struggles that Ilya Samsonov had, I mean, Jimmy and I looked at each other and said, I think Joseph Woll starts the second period. So we really didn't know. But, you know, the game was really the entire season in a microcosm for Ilya Samsonov. He wasn't very good in the first period. He struggled. He came back, got his feet underneath him, put the bit back in his mouth, and just said, that's it. You know, we're shutting things down here and giving us a chance to win. And they did. And you know, a lot can be said about everybody else's play, but I think the goaltender had a great deal in this. And I think that after the game, they had to say, you know what? That was his season in a microcosm. I mean, terrible first half. Looked like his season was over. Looked like his career was over. Looked like there was going to be a major change. And then, you know, bit back in the mouth. We're back in this, in the hunt, and they pulled it off.
Joe, as you're well aware, Mitch Marner's been a very hot topic of conversation in the city. His performance through two games. How do you think Marner and how do you think the Maple Leafs get number 16 going tonight in Game 3?
Carlo, are you old enough to remember the 93 series with Wendell Clark and Doug Gilmore?
Yes.
Yep. Do you remember what they were calling Wendell Clark after the first two games in Detroit?
No, that it I don't
was
remember.
Wendy. Wendy, oh, they were calling wow. him Wendy. Was he was invisible. He wasn't there. Well, you know what? It's a long series. I think everybody needs to take a great, big, deep breath and just wait for this young man to have a game. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happens tonight. He's too talented. He really is. And I just think that you have to have a little bit of time here to let him get his legs under him and get going. I think he played better, I thought, in game two. He would have had a point except for the high stick with Bertuzzi knocked the puck into the net. So I think you just have to wait a little bit. I mean, I think we're being really overly critical at this
way point too overly critical.
He's doing a lot of other things defensively, penalty killing and everything else that, you know, don't show up on the score sheet. So, you know, take a deep breath. And let's let the man have the young man have an opportunity to show his skills and do that at home. And obviously, home ice advantage, matchups become a different situation for the home team coach. So I think that we'll see a different situation tonight.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've been saying it for the last 2 days. Hold your criticism and your opinions until the series is over, and then you say what you want about certain
Wendell
players.
Wendell Clark had a pretty good playoff run after the first two games in Detroit, as I recall.
Well, CJ, Chris Johnson came on our show this morning, and he said that Jonathan Marchessault last year didn't score for the first seven games of the playoffs and won the Conn Smythe. So,
yep.
You know, that's and the good thing is like, look, he's not going. You had Matthews lead the way. They have played without William Nylander. Now, there's the thought of him coming, or the chance of him coming back tonight. You get Marner going, you bring back Nylander, all of a sudden you're 10 steps ahead of the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, talk about an upside.
Right. Right.
Talk about an upside, yeah.
Yeah, and no kidding.
Do the Bruins have an upside to come yet? I don't think so. You know,
They're putting Swayman back in the net. I guess
Is their upside. Swayman.
That's the change.
So,
all right.
Yeah. So, Joe, with regards to Nylander, and again, we had Chris Johnston on earlier, and I believe that quote was something that he would be pretty surprised if Nylander wasn't in the lineup. How do you think the Leafs use him? Like, do you put him with Tavares and Marner? Do you keep him on the third line? Is there a way that you view Nylander as the most effective for Keefe?
I think the fact that it's like a moving part. One moment he's on the third line, the next moment he's somewhere else. I mean, they have moved these guys around effectively through the course of the last number of seasons that they can play with anyone and are comfortable playing with anyone. If the Leafs are able to stretch their offense out over three lines, it really does give the Boston Bruins a major league problem as to where things have to match up. But Sheldon Keefe is so good at changing things up, making a different unit, putting them out there, not always together, not, you know, happens every four or five shifts or whatever, to really give Jim Montgomery something to think about and react to. So I think, and here's the other thing, it's too bad Bobby McMahon isn't healthy either, because then all of a sudden you might have Matthew Nyes on the fourth line, and that line was really cooking when he was down there too. So they can spread things out, I think, and have a four line situation going, and you've got a game breaker almost on every line.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, and it's too bad Bobby McMahon isn't available, because you know the way he elevated his game to close the season out could have been even more impactful for this Maple Leafs lineup. But I guess we're gonna have to wait a little longer to see him back in the lineup. Bonesy, you're the voice in Toronto that everybody loves to listen to. You were in Boston. You heard the crowd, you know, just absolutely blow the roof off the place. What type of motivational talk can you give Leaf fans heading to the game tonight?
Well, bring a voice and bring some fun. Have fun at it. That's the whole idea of this. I think they've got some things planned that are going to get everybody roaring at the start of the game. I think that, you know what, we just have to match the enthusiasm and the intensity of that building and let the Bruins know that they're in a barn that really does get going when the playoffs start. So I'm quite confident it's going to be a raucous situation at Scotiabank Arena tonight. We're looking forward to it.
You can hear the game on TSN 1050. Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph on the call. Thank you for doing this, Bonesy. We'll see you later. Both Carl and I will be down there sitting in press row.
So oh, it's, sure. Getting the free seat. That's you guys are coming down to sit in the free
that's
seat.
That's right. Wow, we got to support.
We don't see you guys for 82 games, and now you're going to show up.
That's right. We show up when it matters.
That is very fair. Matters, very buddy. Fair criticism. We're like Mark Stone.
Oh, yeah. Now you're healthy. You're
yes,
ready.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
We were giving everybody else a chance.
Yeah. Giving everybody else a chance.
Our spleens are healthy, and we'll be there tonight.
Now, you know, guys, there's no cheering in the press box except in the radio booth.
Yeah, all right.
Well, you're right above us, so maybe we'll make our way there.
Yeah, you better make your way in with Ralphie and I. At least then you won't get kicked out.
Consider it done. Thank you, Joe. Just save us
a slice of pizza. We're good.
Oh, absolutely. The free pizza. That's why you guys are showing up.
Yes.
Oh,
what a night. What a night we have in store. We'll see you later.
There you go.
See you, pal.
All right, that's Joe Bowen, the voice of the Leafs. Free pizza. Now we're talking. What a night this is going to be.
I don't know. I always stop at my little hot dog stand right outside of the media entrance there, and I grab a nice little street meat.
A glizzy, as the kids call it?
Is that what they call it now?
Oh, yeah.
Still street meat to me.
Yeah, no, me too.
I always grab one of those most of the time when I get down there. Probably going to have to keep it routine and grab another one before I come in, but we'll see. I don't know, I'll get there early enough, maybe grab something in the concourse at one of those fine little, you know, pop-up restaurants.
There's a lot of good stuff at Scotiabank Arena. I'm really looking forward to it. So my FanDuel best bets still to come. How did I do yesterday, Chrissy? Any recollection? We'll take a look. I'm trying to think who I had. It was probably a winner two nights ago. Tonight I've got a Leafs SGP for you. We'll have Dump and Chase and Power Plays powered by FanDuel as well on SportsCenter. On the other side, we'll hear some of our conversation with Chris Johnson. He gave us an update on William Nylander. Will you see him in the lineup tonight? Hear what Chris Johnson said next. Hour 4 continues. You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050. You're listening to this song, Angry Butterflies by AC and the Sins. Our man Sean Sinclair just shredding. An absolute legend is Shawnee.
What a rock star.
And a fantastic producer as well here at TSN.
Fantastic.
A huge fan. And a great guy. We love Sean Sinclair.
Yeah, so this is his new single that on the album that they've just recently released.
Yep.
He sent it to us the other day, and I've been blasting it in my car on the way to my golf round.
Yeah,
so,
for me,
shout
it's
out to Shawnee,
Taylor Swift's new album and AC and the Sins.
Yes, love it.
Hopefully, the album sales are comparable. You know, like I actually hope AC and the Sins sell more albums.
Yeah,
than Taylor Swift. That's going to be a tough task, but it's a possibility. It is a possibility. Also, a possibility is William Nylander suiting up. Perhaps
nice.
A likelihood. And that's where we began our conversation with TSN hockey insider Chris Johnston. Will we see Nylander tonight in Game 3, CJ?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we didn't. You know, just given the fact that we saw him skate a couple times in Boston, and you know, just how hard it is to miss games at this time of the year. I mean, I would think that it didn't seem to be too grave a concern around him, I would say, internally anyway. And so, you know, I do think there's a high probability you'll see him on the ice here today.
Yeah, I'm with you, CJ. I think the only thing that might stop him from being on the ice today is if you look at the schedule. They don't play again until Saturday, and if whatever he's dealing with could use a couple extra days, considering the series is 1-1, maybe that's the approach they take, but I would strongly believe that he's back in the lineup tonight. Do you expect the Maple Leafs to make any other lineup changes, or do they go status quo?
You know, I guess it's always possible, you know, some dynamic shift with getting last change and the like, but you know, the last game went so well that, you know, I would be... I don't think we're going to see any changes. I'm not aware, certainly, of any other injury issues or anything else that would necessitate a change. And from a performance standpoint, I mean, you know, it would only really be if Nylander comes in. Obviously, someone's probably coming out. I would guess Nick Robertson. But they might have to look at Matthew Nyes, too, given the start to the series. But, no, I don't go to the rink this morning thinking we're going to see much because, you know, I thought especially game two, not just the result, but the way they played the game, there wasn't really much there that called for a change.
The play of Mitch Marner has been a very hot topic of conversation in Toronto, pointless through two games. If Nylander is indeed ready to return, would you anticipate he plays with Marner and Tavares, or they would look at more of a spread offense approach?
Well, I think you'd see some shifts for sure doing that. I mean, we did see Sheldon Keefe go to that in the regular season. Well, I mean, at home you could probably get away with it, but I would suspect that they won't line up that way regularly. But you know, having Nylander in the lineup just gives you all kinds of options. You know, you might even see the odd shift with Matthew. I think that you know, Keith certainly likes to mix and match around. And you know, when it comes to Marner, I think you know one of the things that you know, might be being missed in some corners is he's had you know pretty tough defensive assignment in Boston. You know, not wanting to give up too much against the Pastrnak line coming the other way. You know, that's another thing that, you know, will probably change in this game is you know, Keith will get, you know, some different matchups for him and his line. And, you know, I think it's only a matter of time, quite frankly, before Mitch has his moment in the playoffs. I mean, it's two games and it's tough sledding out there. So I'm not as alarmist, I guess, on that topic as some others.
CJ, I bet you spent a lot of time yesterday listening to some of the stuff that both teams are saying, and to our surprise, it was surprising to see all the compliments come out of the Boston locker room, including from one Brad Marchand, basically saying, you know, throwing all the flowers to the Maple Leafs. They're a good team. They've been the better team. They play different. They're built different. Are you surprised to hear the Boston Bruins talk about the Maple Leafs like this?
Not in seeing the way they played, quite honestly. I mean, this is a different Leafs team. You know, anyone who's watched it closely over the years in the playoffs knows that playoff-style hockey hasn't always, you know, meshed with the way the Leafs were built. And I think that you know, what Brad Treliving's tried to do since coming here is get more players that can handle the physical style and, you know, match up in that way. And, you know, look, the Leafs' fourth line, quite frankly, has been really good.
It was unreal.
Yeah. And, you know, has had a lot of ozone shifts. And obviously, you know, it's not loaded with guys that you're expecting to score a lot of goals, but they've made it hard. They've helped grind the Bruins down. And so I don't think that there's any – like, I don't think Marchand's playing any games with that. I think he was just being truthful that the Leafs look different, it feels different. And, you know, to me, like, I'm not predicting one team steamrolling the other. I think this just has the feel of a long 6- or 7-game series. And – you know, part of what both sides are trying to do is inflict some physical punishment on the other to, you know, hopefully tire the other one out when it gets towards the latter stages.
And the tire pumping continued from Boston coach Jim Montgomery. He was talking about Austin Matthews, how he's the most dangerous man on the ice, which is true. I think the guy scored 69 goals. I don't think Jim Montgomery is exactly breaking news with that. With regards to Matthews, you saw it firsthand, the performance that he put up in Boston in Game 2. Where does that rank amongst the best performances you've seen from number 34?
To me, it's probably his sort of his signature playoff performance to date, and obviously he hopes to have a long playoff run here and have chances to better it or you know deliver something more memorable deeper on down the line. But you know, just the how complete his game was. You know, he struggled, for example, in the faceoff dot in the first game of the series. You know, he was dominant there. You know, he was winning his puck battles, getting in on the forecheck. You know, had a couple primary assists and then scores that goal on the setup for Max Domi. So, you know, and then on top of all that, might have got lost a little bit as he swept the puck off the line in the final minute there, you know, when the Bruins are crashing around the Leafs' crease. So, you know, I think that he was extremely dialed in and one of those nights where, you know, a star player just decides his team isn't losing, not on his watch, and you know, the Leafs are going to need more of that from him and from others. And that's really the secret, I think, to a long playoff run. And, you know, the questions about Marner are totally fair and they're the conversation, but, you know, no one player dominates every single night, even the best of the best. You know, I went back and looked through, you know, Jonathan Marchessault didn't score for 7 games to start the playoffs last year in Vegas. He ended up with 13 goals and the Conn Smythe trophy. So, I mean, you need different players to step up as you go along. And Matthews had his night in game 2, and we'll be hoping it's a Nylander night or a Marner night or something here as we go deeper into the series.
Chris Johnston, TSN Hockey Insider, our guest. And the night-to-night changes in the Stanley Cup playoffs are so funny sometimes. Like, you look at Colorado, right? And we're talking, man, they're goaltending. They have no chance with Gorgiev and Ned. And he goes out, and he's really good last night, and they win 5-2 over Winnipeg. He outplays Connor Hellebuck, who may be the unanimous Vezina Trophy winner. I mean, what can we learn about the idea of momentum in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Is that something that is actually real, or is it just night to night, game to game, everything is up for grabs each and every time they suit it up?
I think more often than not, it's not real. I mean, obviously, any team that seizes what they feel is momentum, the Leafs are probably feeling like they've got some momentum coming home, you know, coming back in game 2 and getting a big win there, playing on home ice tonight. You know, you're hoping to extend the momentum, but, you know, the truth is, the matter is that it rarely does continue from game to game to game. You know, and so that's the challenge of the playoffs is, you know, things are going to go wrong at various points, and you've got to find a way to shrug it off and get back to your game and, you know, execute at a better level and not, and all the while you got to block out your own doubts. You got to block out the noise from the media, from the fans. I mean, it's that's what makes it, I think, so much fun, quite honestly, is it really is a roller coaster each and every game. And, you know, especially in the first round, when everybody's got energy, everyone's about as healthy as they're going to be, you know, whichever teams end up playing for another 6 weeks, it's only going to be harder as it goes along. And so, you know, this is the first round. I mean, anything's on the table.
And I think Toronto-Boston is the perfect example of how emotions change from game to game, where after game 1, all the horrible things that people were saying about this Maple Leafs team, and then after game 2 win, everyone's like, well, we're back, here we go.
Get the car flags out.
Yes. CJ, two completely different handling of the situations. You talk about the Maple Leafs and their handling of the William Nylander situation, where there literally nothing's come out about his injury. And then yesterday in Vancouver, like right after pregame skate, it's like, yeah, Demko's out, not going to play tonight, going to be probably questionable for the rest of the series. And you see how that decision impacted the Vancouver Canucks. What was your reaction when you heard the news about Demko?
I mean, it puts Vancouver obviously in a really tough position. And, you know, I think there's a couple different factors between his situation and Nylander's. For one, Nylander, I do think, is very possible to play today. It's not as long a term of injury, whereas when you're talking about your starting goalie and you basically know he's unlikely to return in the series, I mean, I think you kind of have to address it a little bit more directly. But, you know, it's going to be uphill climb for the Canucks right now. I mean, Casey DeSmith, bless him, but, you know, he allows a goal early in the game last night, and that was only his second ever Stanley Cup playoff start. And, you know, I think the Demko situation is, you know, with him missing so much time, five-plus weeks late in the season, you know, it's another knee issue that he's dealing with. It's said to be a little different than what he had previously, but, you know, unfortunately, injuries are part of this time of year, and sometimes when it's that critical of a player, it's just hard to get around the fact that it's going to be difficult to get through now to another round without him.
So Mitch Marner pointless through 2 games for the Leafs. They're tied 1-1, are Toronto. And in Vancouver, Elias Pettersson is pointless as well through 2 games. I guess the difference is Vancouver's lost its most important player in Thatcher Demko. What do you think the conversations in the Vancouver media market will be like this morning about Elias Pettersson's... The Invisible Man 2.0 in the Vancouver newspapers, Chris?
You might hear that. I mean, especially I saw post-game that he kind of addressed that situation a little bit and took ownership of the fact that he's not living up to his own standards. And, you know, he's struggling. I mean, there's no way around it. And I don't think there's any reason to shy away from it. He's far from the first great player who hasn't really experienced the playoffs in the same way he is right now to go through something like that.
Well, maybe tonight is the breakout spot for Mitch Marner, although you got to go up against Jeremy Swayman, who has a 4-0 record with a .962 save percentage and 4 starts against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So will be tough sledding, but you can find out how it goes tonight as the Leafs and the Bruins in game number 3. It's on TSN Radio just after 7 o'clock. My best bets, got an SGP I've put together. Let you know what it is next. Time now for today's best bets. They are powered by FanDuel Dollar Bills, y'all. Not a very white saying that. Oh, well, I like the Leafs tonight to win game 3. Auston Matthews, 5-plus shots on goal. And the under of 6.5 goals, that's an alternate total. Parlay those 3 together, you get a crispy, a juicy, plus 385. Today's best bets are powered by FanDuel. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Find thousands of ways to play. Please play responsibly, 19-plus, and physically located in Ontario. Carl, looking forward to seeing you later tonight. Joe Bowen was not impressed that we're showing up for our first game in the press box in game 3 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Nor should he be, but it's the playoffs. It's the passion that unites us all.
Yep.
And I'm excited for it. It's going to be a blast. And we'll probably see some other friends down there. Maybe some listeners. Friends of the show. Who knows?
Of course. We'll always see. It'll be fun to see Leafs Nation out in full force tonight.
It will be 7 o'clock on TSN 1050. You can listen to the game. Thank you to Arad. Thank you to 20 Fingers. And again, we encourage our audience to subscribe to the First Up podcast, wherever podcasts are found, and throw us a nice 5-star rating and a nice review. We would appreciate that as well. I'll see you later tonight, and then I'll speak to you at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
And we'll speak to everybody else at 6 a.m. Ciao.
Formula One lives on TSN with every race all season long. And with TSN Plus, go that extra mile with onboard cameras, pit lane channel, and more.
Boy, is it good here.
F1 lives on TSN and TSN Plus.